Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Cooking in Real Time podcast. My name is Zora O'Neill, and I'm back here with you this week after a short break. Thanks for bearing with me on that. And thanks in advance for bearing with me with my slightly froggy voice. I blame my cold on the bad weather we're having here in New York. It's kind of rainy. Proper summer heat has not started yet, which is part of the reason I'm cooking what I'm cooking tonight. It's something I kind of think of as a cold weather dish, but really you can eat it any time of year, and it is Sloppy Joe's. You're probably waiting for me to say, with the gourmet twist of some kind, but I'm not going to. It's just Sloppy Joe's. It's one of those recipes that in the 70s were called pound of ground round recipes, starting with a pound of ground meat and adding whatever. It was basically hamburger helper went without the helper. You added your own spices, what a concept. Sloppy Joe's, really simple, embarrassing how little, well, basically nothing fresh goes into it. Just an onion and everything else is pantry stuff. But for that reason, it's a really handy recipe to know. And there's only one thing in it that could even remotely be called a secret ingredient, which I'll get to. And what are we gonna do? Oh, we're gonna have it on some nice crusty bread, and I'm gonna go ahead and turn on the oven right now to preheat, just so I don't forget. It's times like this I wish I still had a toaster oven, because it seems like a waste to heat up the whole oven just to warm up a couple pieces of bread, but you want your bread nice and crunchy and toasty with some butter melting on it. And to go with the Sloppy Joe's, I'm just gonna do a salad. I know, green salad, not so exciting, but we have some avocados and radishes to go in it, and I'm gonna make a creamy dressing because the Sloppy Joe's, and they've got the sweet sour thing going on, so I want a kind of creamy mellow dressing to balance it out, since usually I make a pretty vinegary dressing. So I'm gonna do those two things together. All right, enough talking. I will chop up an onion. That's the first thing. And actually I'm gonna go ahead and turn on the heat underneath my cast iron skillet, which is conveniently already on the stove. Turning it on sort of medium heat, and I'll just be there preheating while I'm chopping up this onion. And usually I slice my onion like in that video I have up on the website, just in long thin slivers. But this time I'm going to chop it up in more squarish chunks, because you don't want kind of big long slithery pieces of onion in your bites of Sloppy Joe, since the ground beef crumbles up into small pieces. So just cut the onion lengthwise and then in half, and then I'm cutting it into further lengthwise pieces, and now I'm cutting it across to make kind of small squares. And the trick of doing this is to hold all the slices in place as you're making them. And then you can just rotate the onion 90 degrees to cut across there. And I'm gonna put some butter in that pan. You don't want too much oil, because the ground beef is gonna have a lot of fat in it, or mine will, I think. So I'm putting in like less than a tablespoon of butter. Letting it melt all around the skillet. Tilting it around the bottom of the pan. Now I'm gonna bring my onions over. So yeah, when I asked my mom for this recipe a couple of years ago, it was funny. She said, you know, she had it written down somewhere and it didn't even specify the amount of meat. It just said, add to the meat in the pan all the following ingredients. And then she had written in the margin, more of everything. So after some tweaking, I think we got it to enough more of everything. Give these guys a stir just so they get all nicely covered with butter. Actually, maybe that's the secret ingredient to my Sloppy Joe's, is butter. You have to butter the bread very nicely, like I said. And a little butter in here never hurts. Those onions are sizzling nicely. I'm gonna turn it down just a smidge so I don't have to look at it. Get out my ground beef, which this is about a pound and a half. Pretty good quality. I don't know how fatty it is, though. If you're buying your own ground beef, don't skimp on the fat. getting up about roughly a pound of meat here, and I'm going to save the remaining half pound for a little something tomorrow, because actually a pound of ground beef is enough for, it's definitely enough for four people. I mean, think about quarter pounders as plenty of meat per person. So, put that back in the fridge. Turn my onions back up again. All right, once they get all softened up, I'll add the meat. And while I'm waiting for that to happen, I will mix up all my seasonings. I'm gonna get out a big liquid measuring cup, big 2-cup measuring cup, and, oh my God, the secret ingredient. Actually, this is not what I'm calling the secret ingredient, but the basic ingredient, dude, it's ketchup. If I get close, maybe you can hear it squirting out of the bottle. And, ooh, that was a good one. It's ketchup. Ketchup gets maligned. It's pretty sweet, which is part of the magic here. I'm putting in a full half cup of ketchup, which sounds disgusting, but again, remember this is for four people. So if you're just making it for you, go ahead and have the recipe, and a quarter cup of ketchup just doesn't sound like a bad thing at all. Half a cup of ketchup, and then easy to remember, a quarter cup of red wine vinegar. So basically you're doing half and then half again. And then you're doing half of that, which half of a quarter cup is 2 tablespoons. And that you're doing, let me get out a biggish spoon. Basically, don't go fishing around for exact measurements. Let me get out some sugar here. Here we go. You can, of course, vary the brown sugar you put in. I mean, if your taste doesn't run too sweet, if you're a little leery about having used so much ketchup, then you can go easy on the sugar, of course. So a couple tablespoons of that, but like I said, I'm not using measuring spoons. I just have a regular teaspoon here, and I'm putting in pretty big heaping things. Now I'm going to put in about 2 tablespoons, maybe a little bit less because it's a little intense, of a dry mustard. You can use regular prepared mustard, like Poupon, you know, Grey Poupon or some other Dijon kind of mustard. You can use that instead. It won't be quite so spicy hot as if you use this, if you use the dry powdered mustard. Ooh, I hear my onions starting to sizzle. So I better wrap this up. I'll leave the last 2 spices for a second while I stir my onions. Yeah, they're getting a little brown spots on them. I think those will do nicely. I'm gonna go ahead and tip the ground beef in there. I'm just breaking it up into biggish or smaller and smaller chunks with the side of my wooden spoon. And that's in there. I'm gonna let it cook up a little bit so it'll crumble some more, and I'm gonna go ahead and finish measuring the spices in here. I have down here, my secret ingredient, not so secret, is celery seed. And really, that's the one thing that makes this not taste like Hungry Man or something else you got from a mix. Celery seed gives it this really nice, like, vegetable-y kick at the end. And I was gonna say you should put in about 1/2 teaspoon, which you should, but I only have about 1/4 teaspoon left in my little tiny jar. Basically all I ever use celery seed for is sloppy joes and occasionally coleslaw, so that jar of celery seed I've probably had for several years. So somewhere between 1/4 teaspoon and 1/2 teaspoon of celery seed, and not celery salt. That's a different thing entirely. What's the other thing? Cloves. If you have ground cloves, better to use those. I don't have any ground clove right now, so I'm just gonna throw in 5 or 6 whole cloves and then make a mental note to fish them out or warn other people if they're in there, which I always forget to do. I'm going back to stir my ground beef now. breaking it up into smaller and smaller chunks. Turn the heat all the way up. It's pretty high as it is, but that's pretty much nicely broken up. All right, I'm just gonna give this whole mess of spices a stir. Do a little mental check that I've got everything in here. I guess a good grind of black pepper can't hurt. Add a little bit more spice, though totally optional. And a big-ish pinch of salt. There's nothing in the spices that's inherently salty except maybe a little bit of the ketchup, but. All right, Yes, gourmet deluxe, super fancy sloppy dough mix. All right, back here at the skillet and stirring. My beef is pretty well nicely crumbled up. Just getting rid of the really big obvious chunks. You want them pretty well broken down so that everything gets a chance to absorb the sauce. All right, looks good. God, I feel so cheesy TV cooking show cooking this. It's really alarming, sounding perky about something with so much ketchup in it. Anyway, it's good. It got me through, you know, many years. I grew up strong on Sloppy Joe's. Just stirred in all the sauce. It's kind of soupy. Everything is coated pretty nicely. And I'm just gonna turn the heat down. Down to medium low. And let that baby simmer. We'll check on it later. If it looks like it's losing too much liquid, I'll drizzle in some water. And actually, I'm gonna run a teeny bit of water in the measuring cup right now to sort of rinse out all that extra ketchup and stuff. And you know, that's about a couple tablespoons of water. I'm just gonna pour it in there. I hate to see all that flavor go to waste. All right. We'll keep that there, and now we will turn our attentions. Let me put away a lot of these spices, though, first, just to clear the decks. It's always, if you don't know what else to do in the kitchen, if you're suddenly feeling disorganized and things are moving too fast, you're not sure what to do next, just stop and tidy up, and while you're tidying, you will be able to clear your mind and think to the next step. In this case, we're making room for preparing the salad. I have a big handful of lettuce that I just grabbed off the front deck. One nice thing about it raining so much is that all the various half-assed vegetables I planted didn't die while I was out of town. So we came back and there's a fair amount of lettuce. It is extremely organic lettuce, which means it's totally covered in bugs right now, so I'm gonna have to wash it a million times. So I'm gonna set that in the salad spinner to rinse, for like rinse one of seven, while I get my plan together for my salad dressing. So, like I said, I want this to be a kind of creamy salad dressing. And I might even, if we're being like so crazy retro with the ketchup in the Sloppy Joe's, I might actually even use a little bit of mayonnaise in this dressing. I'm not a big maker of creamy salad dressings, so usually when I want to make something creamy, I just toss some yogurt or some sour cream into my basic salad dressing. But that is always still very vinegary, so this one I'm going to tone down a little bit. And speaking of toning down, I'm going to turn the Sloppy Joe's down a little bit as they are burbling away, maybe a little bit too much. In fact, I think I might even put a little lid on these guys because I can see in the time it takes me to make the salad that all that liquid would cook away otherwise. It makes it harder to hear what's going on having a lid on, but it does buy me some time. Okay, so salad dressing. I'm going to do this in the blender because I'm also going to throw in some basil that I have, and I want that to get all whizzed up. So I'm putting in a couple big spoonfuls of yogurt. And this is the super thick Greek style yogurt. If you don't have that, then that's fine. Use a little bit more of the regular and just know that your overall mix is going to be a lot more liquidy and overall not as concentrated creamy tasting. That's fine. Okay, so I'm also going to throw in here one big heaping spoonful of mayonnaise, which if my father is listening, I know he is shuddering horribly at this very, very moment. Oh, it's jiggling there on the spoon. You don't have to use the mayonnaise. This is more just to satisfy my curiosity because I actually hardly ever use mayonnaise in dressing. So I've got a couple big spoonfuls of yogurt in there and a couple big spoonfuls, or just one big spoonful of mayonnaise rather. And I'm taking a big handful of basil off this bunch I have and rinsing that really well. Basil gets very sandy for some reason. Tearing that up, shredding it up a little bit to give my blender a break. Tossing that in there, and what else? So earlier, I was thinking of this more as like a green goddess kind of dressing, which is, you know, usually green herbs and mayo and anchovies and things. And it doesn't look like I have any anchovies. So I'm gonna get all crazy here and use a teensy bit of miso. Miso lasts forever in the fridge. I hardly ever get around to making actual miso soup, but it is very handy for super savory flavoring. And it's good it lasts forever in the fridge because I don't have that many things I make with it. But if you're vegetarian especially, it's a great alternative to anchovies because it has that same super salty, intense flavor thing going on. So I just put a small teaspoon of that in the mix, and I'm gonna add some, I guess we'll add limes because that's what we have. I thought we had some lemons, but we don't. And while I'm down here, I'm grabbing some radishes. All right, so I don't want this to taste too limey, but I also want it to have more of a fresh citrus taste than if I had used just vinegar, which is why I'm using a little bit of this. Okay, so I'm gonna squeeze in half a lime, and then I want a milder vinegar than the red wine vinegar. And for that, I'm gonna grab some apple cider vinegar out of the pantry. So I'm gonna pour in maybe a teaspoon of vinegar, not even that, well, a teaspoon of vinegar, maybe a little bit more, just enough to give it a little more brightness. But overall, like I said, I want this to be creamy and not too vinegary, because the sloppy joe's gonna be a little bit sour. So I'm gonna put the lid on and whiz it all up. All right, looks like the basil is all nicely whizzed up in there. And it is a beautiful color green. Ooh, that is pretty good. Pretty good. So that's good to go. And giving my salad its second rinse here. I've just pulled it out of the water and, oh, look at all the little bugs floating. Not going to eat those. All right, giving it a fresh bath. Ooh, check on the sloppy joes right now. They're simmering mightily. Ooh, they're sticking a teeny bit. I'm gonna turn this down even lower because when you put the lid on, that traps the heat and actually gets the temperature up pretty high. So we can turn this all the way down to the lowest simmer. Put the lid back on. All right, rinsing the lettuce. And I'm just gonna tidy up all my cutting board here before we get to, see, we're gonna have a couple radishes. This is basically going to be a radish salad, but I also have an avocado So we have a little something crunchy and a little something softer and creamier. Oh, this lettuce. Obviously for you, if you're using lettuce, I hope for your sake, you're using lettuce that's not totally bug infested. So this will not take you nearly as much time. Oh, we're getting there. We're definitely getting there. I wish I could say bug-free after rinse three, but no such luck. We'll give them one more. All right, I'll rinse my radishes in the meantime. Chop these guys up. They're kind of big, crunchy pieces of radish. Slice them lengthwise and kind of thick rings, but of course you can chop them any way you like. But I like that. Like the color of the radishes in their little circle. I don't wanna mess that up too much. These are so good, I think I'll chop up one more. Kind of have to allow for the snacking in the process. These radishes are also, these are pretty mellow. I've had some that are so peppery and spicy, but these are kind of big guys, not too intense, so they'll work without totally overwhelming the salad. Okay, let me get out a salad bowl. Oh my gosh, I think I might finally have washed the lettuce enough. Amen. A little bowl to make sure, the salad spinner bowl, and make sure it's not still covered with bugs. Okay, that's good. I can spin that dry. And that's just all going straight in the salad bowl. And while I'm thinking of it, I will go ahead and put bread in the oven to warm up. I've got it here in the freezer. Whenever I buy bread, I rarely eat a loaf at a time. I just stick it in the freezer, slice it if I have to, and then you can pull it out and put it straight in the oven. And the moisture that it kind of picks up in the freezer serves to help fluff it up a bit, make it soft in the oven, and it also makes the crust a little crunchy. So I've stuck that in there. The oven's on about 400 degrees. If I were using fresh bread, like a nice little sourdough, and I really recommend sourdough, especially it's extra good with the sloppy joes. If you're using fresh bread, just rub a little bit of water on the outside on the crust before you stick it in the oven, and that enhances the crispy crust factor. So that should all come together. The bread should be all nice and toasty and warmed up by the time we've got everything else here ready. So I've got my lettuce in the bowl, and I'm just gonna toss in all my radish wedges. And the last thing we have to cut up is an avocado. The smaller the avocado usually, the better. So I've cut my little avocado in half and pulled out the pit and sliced into it, sort of diced it in the half shell, and then I'm just scooping that all out with a spoon. You can also just flip the peel inside out, and I'm taking the pit out of the other side, which is sort of a tricky maneuver. I usually take my chef's knife and fock it down into the pit and then twist, but you need to make sure the knife is truly well stuck in the avocado pit, or else it will slip and slice you terribly, which I've had happen on occasion, so I'm always very cautious when I pull that little stunt. Just slicing this up. Yeah, like I said, you can also just sort of flip the avocado inside out, but if your avocado is very ripe, that trick doesn't work and you end up with it all sort of mushed up. So I'm using a spoon because this one I have is pretty ripe. Oh, that is so pretty. Nice, I've got some very pretty red leaf lettuce here, and the little pink radishes, and my beautiful green avocado. Mm. It's a nice one too. All right, so that's good. And I'll just drizzle a little dressing over that. I think we might even be ahead of the game. All right, Sloppy Joe's definitely done. It doesn't really take that much to get them done. They only need about 20 minutes of simmering total. And they should have a little bit of sauce left in between the meat chunks. Let's just taste that and see. Ooh, hot. Mm-hmm. Oh, yummy. Yummy, yummy. Okay, so now we're just waiting on the bread. Sure, I was congratulating myself for thinking of that ahead of time, but not quite enough. I could use about one more minute. So what am I gonna do? I'm going to clean up, which is sort of boring to listen to, but helps the overall big picture. It is actually a little bit nice to have this built-in time at the end, the cleanup time, because then the kitchen is that much more appealing when you return after eating your dinner. Just putting everything aside and rinsing a few things. Okay, turning the heat off on the Sloppy Joes. They're definitely done, and remember the cloves are in there. If you bite down on a whole clove, you will have a pleasant numbness, or else you will think it's disgusting, depending on your tastes. But it does kind of ruin your palate for the rest of your dinner, so definitely something to keep an eye out for. See here, check on the bread. Oh, perfect. It's got a little very light brownness to it. Get out some plates. All right, like I said, butter the bread. I think that is, sad to say, the secret ingredient. All right, we're good to go. Our bread is buttered, and our Sloppy Joes are slop. They are sweet and sour and delicious, and taste vaguely of celery seed, and we have our beautiful salad here, and with our kind of extemporaneous creamy basil dressing, and we've got an easy weeknight dinner. Thanks so much for listening, and feel free to get in touch. I'm at Zora@cookinginrealtime.com, and check out the website where the recipe will be along with some photos. Although I've got to warn you, the Sloppy Joe is not that photogenic, but it tastes delicious. Don't take my word for it, make it yourself. I'll be back next week. Thanks for listening.